We want to say to graduates, as they take the next step into the next stage of their lives, we want to encourage them and share with them what they're good at and the talents that they have and the way that God has perfectly positioned them to take that next step. And then we want to say, you got this. Go, you got this. This morning is graduation Sunday, and last week, Chris started a series called What We Wish You Knew. And he asked me to continue that series this morning, and it fits absolutely perfect that it would fall on graduation Sunday in the middle of this series. This morning, we're going to talk about what we wish you knew as graduates. And I really was burdened when I tried to prepare this sermon. I began to try to think, you know, what is the one thing that we wish graduates knew? And as I started thinking through things, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of stuff as a church. And so I started having all these ideas pinging off the walls of my brain. And as I was thinking about all these ideas, I began to quickly realize that these things that we want graduates to know are not just things for graduates. I began to realize that this applied to children that their graduation is in the distant future. And this applied to adults whose graduation was in their distant past. And so, no matter where you fall in that continuum, whether your graduation is years away or years in your past, or you are right there and this is your year that you are graduating, stay with me because this is for you. And so I was trying to think through what is the thing we want graduates to know as a church? As they step into this next phase of their life, what is it that we really want them to know? And I began to narrow down my list of things and ideas that we wanted graduates to know. And God began to make these connections. This one fits here, and these fall under this category. And I wasn't able to narrow it down to one thing, but I was able to narrow it down to three. And here's the first one. You are loved. You are loved. I don't remember why I was frustrated, and I don't remember why she was in trouble, but our oldest daughter, who is our second child, Clark, was about 5 at the age, and I was sitting on the bed with her, and we were talking about what was going on and why she had just gotten in trouble. And I will never forget, she looked up at me with the remnants of tears in her big, beautiful eyes, and she said, "Daddy," very serious, "do you still love me?" And my heart just broke in that moment. Because there is nothing that she could do that would ever keep me from loving her. No matter how frustrated I get, no matter what she does, there is nothing that she can do that would make me love her less. And my mind was blown that even for a moment, that the thought would cross her mind that she was unloved. Because as a father, I look at her and I'm like, she's loved. Like, I love her and will continue to love her until I die. And I know it's cliche to say that you are loved and that's the thing that we want you to know, but it's true. You are loved. And this world tries to send messages all the time of how unlovable you are. This world reminds you of your past and your failures and your mistakes. And it reminds you that you didn't get to the right position. And it reminds you of all the things that make you feel that you are unlovable. And there is a God that sits in heaven that is like the dad in that video that we watched, that just wells with pride. And like me sitting on my daughter's bed, that is just mind blown that for a moment that she would think that she is unloved. Romans, the book of Romans, is all about how we can have a relationship with God. And the writer of Romans spends the first few chapters specifically saying, we messed up. We messed everything up. We broke our relationship with God. We cannot fix it. We cannot get back in a right relationship with God. And in the midst of explaining why and how we messed this up and why we can't do it, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the writer says this, "But God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, the writer of Romans says that you didn't deserve it, but God loves you. The writer of Romans says that you may have done everything wrong, but there is a God in heaven that looks down at you and says, no, I love you. I love you enough that I came down from heaven. I sent my son to die for you. I love you. And he spends the next few chapters talking about how Jesus coming to earth totally changes everything. Totally changes everything for us and our opportunity to be with God. And it totally gives us the opportunity to have a personal relationship with him. And then, just a few chapters later, after he's explained that Jesus loves us in spite of who we are, that there's nothing that we can do to stop his love, in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 38, he says this, "For I am sure," and John read this at the communion, which is perfect, "that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor present things, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing, nothing that can separate you from love. And yet, so often, if you guys are anything like me, we tend to allow these thoughts to come into our minds, and we tend to beat ourselves up and beat ourselves down, and we start to doubt this idea that we are actually worthy of being loved. We start to doubt this idea that we can be loved. And when those doubts start to come into our minds, there is a God in heaven, like I sat on my daughter's bed, whose mind is just blown, and he is screaming from heaven, "No, no, listen, you are loved. I love you. There's nothing you could do to stop that. There's nothing you could do to separate you from my love. You are loved." And I love this list because it's not just a mundane list of average things that the writer of Romans lists out to try to separate us from God's love. It's like this supernatural, powerful stuff. You know, it's angels and rulers and death and life. Things in our past, things in our present. You know, it's all this stuff that is out of our control, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. You are loved. You are loved. The second thing that we want you to know as graduates and as everybody is this: you have a purpose. You have a purpose. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I love this. We are God's workmanship. You were created for a purpose. The God that formed this earth, the God that formed the expanse of the sky, took his time and formed you. He created you with the things that you love. He created you with the passions that you are just passionate about. He created you with your talents and your abilities. He created you with the things that you find funny. He created you with the things that you just enjoy doing just for fun. And he did all that on purpose, so that you could, in 2018, gather around other people that love those things and change their world for Jesus Christ. You see, here's the thing, is so often we separate and separate our different areas of life. We say there's the spiritual side of me, and then there's the side of me that loves video games. And there's the spiritual side of me, and then there's the side of me that loves crafting or scrapbooking, or the side of me that loves gardening, or the side of me that loves to read, or the side of me that loves watching comedy movies. And what I see from this is God, we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. And so God created the love of you of gardening or video games. I know, parents, God, I apologize for saying that to your kids. But God created you with all those things that you love. Do you know why? so that you can gather other people around you that also love those things. And in those moments, share the love of God with those people in real life experience ways and make a difference for his kingdom. You were created for a purpose. And here's the struggle. So often, we doubt our purpose. We doubt that we can really make a difference just being us. Go ahead, and I've got a video here, Tyler.
I can't get in front of it. No matter how hard I try, no matter how much I give, I'm not enough.
For who?
What?
Not enough for who?
I mean, Sean, the kids,
for my mother, God, everybody, I don't know.
You. Not enough for you. I was raised in church. This might surprise you, but I have since drifted from the faith.
Shocker.
My mama worked 3 jobs. I never met my daddy. I had to get up early and walk to school, but I'd wait up for her coming home from the diner. I'd wait up every night because she'd come home and she'd put me to bed and she'd tell me something. She'd tell me the same thing every night. He loves you, Charles. No matter who you are, no matter what you do or how far you run, Jesus will always be loving you with his arms open wide just for being you. And I'd smile and go off to sleep. You know, I saw something on Pinterest the other day. It was an eagle just caring for its young. It's a beautiful thing to watch one of God's creations just doing what he made it to do. Just being an eagle. And that's enough. Y'all spend so much time beating yourselves up. Must be exhausting. Let me tell you something, girl. I doubt the good Lord made a mistake giving your kiddos the mama he did. So you just be you. He'll take care of the rest.
God didn't make a mistake. God didn't make a mistake making you the way that he did. God didn't make a mistake making you with the things that you love. God didn't make a mistake making you with the talents that you have. God didn't make a mistake putting you in the position that you are in right now in 2018. God did not make a mistake because he created you for a purpose. And so often, especially this time of year when we're talking about graduates and next steps and new stages of life, we talk about this thing called purpose, and we talk about it like it's this distant down the road thing, like someday we'll get to our purpose. But God created us for a purpose now. No matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, God created us for a purpose right now. We don't have to compare ourselves to other people. We don't have to be the one that gets all the recognition and all the glory. We don't have to be the one that steps up and makes these radical changes that everyone recognizes. Our purpose is the things that God created us to do. I love that line that he said in there. He said, it's a beautiful thing watching one of God's creation just doing what it was made to do. God created you to be you, to do what you are doing every day, touching the people around you. You are loved and you have a purpose. The last thing we want you guys and graduates to know is this: you are more than. I know that sounds weird. More than what? You are more than. See, we live in a culture that bombards us with this idea that we are less than. We are less than beautiful unless we look a certain way. We are less than worthy unless we have advanced so far in our career, unless we get into the college we want to get into, unless we get a job straight out of college. We are less than worthy unless we make enough money. We are less than complete unless we have a husband or wife. We are less than whole as a family if we decide to not or we can't have children. This entire world shoves messages down our throat that we are less than. And God says, you are more than. Time and time and time and time again throughout the Bible, God expresses his love and his just magnificence with you and how incredible he thinks you are. In this book of Psalms, and Tyler, I'm going to go through these real quick, so if you guys don't have time to read them, I apologize. But in the book of Psalms, he talks about how he knit you together in your mother's womb. He took your face and he formed it just so, made sure your eyes were just the right distance apart and your nose was formed just the way that it was. He took your body and he created it just the way that it was. And yet the world looks at you and says, you are not beautiful unless you look a certain way. God stands up and he says, no, I created you. You are beautiful. And we feel less than worthy because we have not done something with our lives. We have not advanced in our careers. We have not made it into college. But there is a God that says, like the verse we talked about earlier, Romans 5:8, God says, when you were a sinner, I sent my son for you. You want to talk about worthy. You want to talk about a life that has worth and value. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you're doing. You are more than. You are more than worthy and more than valuable. You are valuable enough for the God that spoke and created all the stars that we go out on a beautiful summer night and go, whoa. You are more than worthy enough for him to leave all that and come down and die so that you could have a relationship with him. You want to talk about worth. And you are whole. You don't need another person. You don't need another thing. You don't need a complete family to make you whole. I love the verse in Colossians. It talks about how the fullness of God is realized in his deity, and we are that fullness. God has created us whole, just us. We don't need anything, anyone else to make us whole because God sees us as whole, complete, valuable, and worthy just the way that we are. You see, this world will try to tell you that you are less than. Magazines, movies, commercials, media. There are people in our schools and our workplaces and our friendship circles that constantly shoot us down and tell us how much we are less than. There are voices in our heads that tell us we are unworthy and we are less than. Here's the truth, guys. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Satan is lying to you. Because the truth is, there is a God that says, I made you, I sent my son for you, I love you, you are worthy. I recently watched the movie The Greatest Showman. We rented it on DVD for the first time. And The Greatest Showman focuses around the life of P.T. Barnum, who was the guy from Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. And P.T. Barnum was this guy that gathered around him people that society saw as outcasts. And he said, we're going to make a show. We're going to create a show with you guys, and it's going to be incredible and awesome. And so he gathered all of these people that society said, you are less than, just kind of stay away. And he said, we're going to make this show. And it caught on. It was this huge success, and people came from everywhere. An audience raved about this show. And as you can probably tell, there was some conflict because the people of the town where this show was going on didn't want Barnum's people there. And so they were trying to get them out. And there's this moment in the movie where the people involved in Barnum's show have to make a decision which voice they're going to listen to. Are they going to listen to the voice that says you are less than, or are they going to listen to the voice that says you have worth and value? And it's at this point that they sing a song called This Is Me. And the song starts like this. I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are, but I won't let them break me down to dust. I know there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words want to cut me down, I'm going to send a flood. I'm going to drown them out. I am braved. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. And guys, I watched this movie, and I got those chills going down my body, right? And I'm like, yes, that's right. Fight for your value. Show them how valuable you are, right? And I got all excited, and we do that when we watch movies because we fight for the underdog, and we want to see them succeed and rise above. And yet, guys, when it comes to our own lives and those voices start to come in, shooting us down, telling us how unworthy we are, if you're like me, you tend to just kind of take a step back and you start to believe the lies. So I want to encourage you, whether you are graduating from high school, whether you are going to graduate from high school or college, or whether you graduated a long time ago, don't believe the lie. Time and time again in this book, God says you are valuable, you are worthy, you are loved, you are more than. And those voices will continue to fight. And I want to encourage you to believe the truth that you are more than, that you are worthy. You are loved, you have a purpose, and you are more than. The band is going to come up, and they're going to play another song, and maybe for you, you know, you've not really realized the love of God. You maybe this is your first experience at church, and you know, you've heard about things like a relationship with God and don't really understand it, but there's something tugging at your heart that's something you want. I would love to talk to you about that. Maybe for you, you need some prayer. And this morning, I would love to just pray for you. But I like to give a practical challenge every single time that I teach. So that no matter where you fall in your relationship with God, you know you can walk out the door and you can say, all right, this is what I'm going to do to take the next step in my faith. And so here it is today. For me, guys, I need reminding of my worth and my value. So often I just need to be reminded, you are loved, you have a purpose, you are more than. And so we've created these little slips. And you just have a heart, you are loved, you say the word purpose, you have a purpose, and have a greater than sign for you are more than. Grab one of these, they're on a table right in the middle of the foyer. Grab one of these on your way out. You can post it somewhere. You can use it as a bookmark. You can do whatever you want with it. But it's just another step that you can take in your faith to remind you of how God sees you, that he sees you as someone of value, of worth, of purpose. And no matter where you fall in your life, whether you are graduating and it's an exciting time or whether it's just another day and another year for you, you can be reminded that you are valued and you are loved and you have a purpose. While we stand and we sing, if you've got a decision to make or need some prayer, please come.